Brothers and sisters, in the passage, Job continued to explain how wretched and lowly the lives of the fathers of young men who mocked him were. Job chapter 30, verses 5 through 7 read, "They are driven from the community. They shout again against them. They shout against them as against the thief, so that they dwell in the dreadful valleys, in holes of the earth and of the rocks. Among the bushes they cry out. Under the nettles they are gathered together." When people saw them who were shabby and humble in appearance, they turned them away by shouting as against a thief. Since they had no homes of their own, they were driven away to dwell in the holes of the earth and of the rocks or under the trees, living like wild beasts. As such poor people gathered together, there was no way they lived in peace. No wonder there were noises of fighting, groaning, etc. Job was explaining the misery of the parents of the young man who mocked him. And those parents lived a wretched life. But even if this was true, Job talked about that because he hated them. He didn't have such a regrettable heart. It was not out of goodness. He just wanted to bring them down and make them evil. Sometimes we say, this is true. This is a truth. But there are words to speak and there are words not to say. Job found that their parents' lives were misery. And Job described even the parents of the young man who mocked him. Even though you don't exaggerate things, you have. Anyway, good and righteous people don't gossip about people, don't want to talk about others' shortcomings. You have to. As we see Job saying and doing things in that situation, didn't you have fleshly thoughts? And Job said of these people in chapter 30, verse 8, "Fools, even those without a name, they were scourged from the land." In saying so, Job described them saying that they were even scourged from the land. Brothers and sisters, when we find a person living in such misery, would it be right to recklessly judge the value of his life as if we were a judge? Because they each lead a life of their own, we have to show them respect, not disdaining or accusing them. As I prepared this message, this came to mind. It was some years ago. I was watching TV, and there were people who had some problem, and he picked a garbage and he piled up that garbage in his own room. The TV show described the lives of these people, and it was a. I was reminded of that show. As I watched the show, I also thought, why do they live such a life? I remember that moment, and it would be good to live, but these people had no desire to or no willpower to change their life. As I watch them, I couldn't understand why they are living so. And I realized that it wasn't good thoughts, and I had such an awakening moment. Brothers and sisters, we have to achieve love by which we can share the pain of the miserable ones, mourn for them, and shine the light close by. People suffering difficulty, we have to understand how painful they are, their life is. They live in suffering and afflictions, and they give up on their life. They have no dreams or hope. Since people of this kind have no dreams, hope, desires, and pride, they become increasingly miserable with the passing of time and display evil as they get criticized. To be fair, who would want to live this kind of life? Because the Word of God tells you to love your enemies as you love yourself, when you see the neglected, you have to take pity. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 17 tells us, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." The verse means that if we have mercy on the poor and help them out, God himself will repay us. Suppose you find yourself in a wretched situation. How would you feel? Wouldn't you you may also be in a trouble or some difficult situation. Think about that moment. When you are in trouble and difficulty, wouldn't you want anyone to give you comfort, strength, and help and pray and provide for you? Therefore, we are to take pity on those who are poor spiritually or physically. Even though a person has money, fame, and power, if he doesn't believe in God and is heading towards hell, he is poor in a spiritual sense. That's why we should have mercy on him. Even when a brother severely commits evil, we are to lament for his wickedness. Even when we see someone having become a failure and roaming the streets heavily drunk, we have to show mercy. You have to have mercy on others, and if they are living in suffering or in a... If you try to help, you have to do it in the truth. When we help all others, we have to follow God's will. If we help out a person who is being punished by God for his sins, would we be blessed? For this is like encouraging him to keep on disobeying God. We are bringing troubles upon ourselves. The same way, when Jonah disobeyed the word of God and ran away, the sailors who helped him lost all their possessions and even their lives were at risk. Let's say a healthy person has lazed around without working and lived in poverty as a result. If we help him out, then we would make him lazier and more incompetent. We are to provide aid to those brothers who try to work hard despite being poor, and our neighbors who are in difficulties that they can't overcome on their own. As we practice charity according to God's will this way, God will be blessed and bless each area of our life. Brothers and sisters, here's another factor with which to reflect on ourselves. Because Job belittled the lowly, he utterly disregarded their remarks as well. He was like, "Who are you, talking to me recklessly and mocking at me?" People of untruth are often seen showing such attitudes. Usually, people are displeased when they are advised by a person whom they consider lesser. Even though the person is not perfect, they have to accept his word if it is right. But as they view him with prejudice, they dismiss the word and even what is right. But as each person has their strengths and weaknesses, we are to acknowledge their merits, not focusing on their negatives alone. As you find in Matthew chapter 23, verse 3, even when Jesus referred to those evil Pharisees, he said, therefore all their... therefore, when someone advises you, you are not to think, why does he give you a piece of advice while he himself doesn't act? Rather, we are to accept this word with amen, if the word is right according to the truth. Philippians, the Bible says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as important than yourselves. People who consider others better than themselves don't ignore even the opinions of little ones, but want to learn from their merits. Even if someone has a number of shortcomings, they don't look down on him for that. Once they discover even a single merit from him, they acknowledge it and compliment him. While the truth teaches us to lower ourselves and serve, if we disregard others, we are no different from Job, who belittled the lowly. As Job found himself being mocked by the children whose fathers he disdained to put with the dogs of his flock, he said the following in their anguish. And now I have become their taunt. I have even become a byword to them, and they abhor me and stand aloof from me, and they do not refrain from spitting in my face. Job having become their taunt means he had to become an object of ridicule and mockery. You know, children sometimes sing songs when they mock others. Moreover, as they abhorred and stood aloof from him and even spat at his face, Job breathed a sigh, feeling extremely miserable. As people who used to receive help from him accused and mocked him, let alone repay that favor, Job was bitterly distressed. But if Job had been a holy man of truth, he could have dealt with all these distressful moments with love. We find in the Bible, as for our fathers of faith, like Moses, Elijah, Daniel, and his three friends, Deacon Stephen, Apostle Paul, etc., even as they faced tests and trials, their love for God never wavered. They forgave and prayed for their persecutors and glorified God by triumphing over all the hardships by faith. Likewise, once we become men of truth, we can control and conquer all things and overcome evil with good. Our Lord also went through all the persecutions and mockery only with love. Ultimately, he completed the providence of salvation by carrying the cross. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. And Jesus didn't care much about the rejection and the shame that he suffered. He wasn't like, I'm God, but these creatures are mocking me and spitting at me. Some of them were healed by me. Jesus didn't have such resentful feelings. Jesus didn't feel, if he had done so, he wouldn't be having able to carry the cross. In order to save the whole mankind, he didn't care about the shame he was suffering. Because he did that, he sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. We should also take after our Lord and cast off all forms of evil and persevere through trials with hope for heaven. But if we don't forgive others' faults, repay their evil, and complain and lament, we are no different than unbelievers. Sometimes when you go through trials, some of you may feel ashamed because you are in a lowly place, and then you're different from Jesus who didn't care about the shame. And you have to overcome your trials. You have to examine yourselves in this regard. Please bear in mind that as believers of God, we are to forgive and love even those who hate us with no particular reason, and that this is the shortcut to receiving answers and blessings and obtaining heavenly glory and rewards. Job went on to say in chapter 30, verse 11, because he has loosed his bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off the bridle before me. Job mentioned that God loosed his bowstring, and here, bowstring means the source of all blessings. Worldly people often say things like, someone has a connection with the boss, he utilized her connection with them. Mr. So-and-so came here because of his connection with the CEO. Here, a connection is like some force that backs up a person. When we are connected to a man of power or wealth and receive some help from him, we can say that we have a connection or strong support. The same way, Job asserted that when he was connected to God, he had those people under control. But as God let go of the connection or the string, they turned into people who mocked at him. These people were under Job's control, and Job shared the blessings with them, and they were helped by him. But these people, it was possible because he was connected to God, but that connection was gone. In turn, people who used to receive his help have turned their backs on him. Job meant to say that even those who used to receive help from him, share joy with him, and follow him, treated him imprudently, rampaging like beasts out of the bridle. Job blamed God for everything, saying that because God looked away from him, he became powerless and helplessly faced all the troubles. Some of his words are right, because when you turn away from God, all the blessings are gone. In a way, Job was right. But actually, Job claimed that God forsook him first. God is never the one who forsook anyone first. And Job said that God let go of the string or connection. Job was misunderstanding God. Still, Job hadn't realized that God was refining him to bless him, whether he resented God, insisting that he was suffering because God let go of the strings of blessing. Children, when they are rebuked by their parents, some children are rebuked or scolded often, and they sometimes misunderstand their parents. They misunderstand that parents hate them. When parents rebuke their children out of their feelings, children would misunderstand their parents. They think, my mother doesn't like me. She is hating me. And they feel resentful. Seeing that, how heartbroken his parents would be. They wanted to fix their children's wrong behavior and wanted them to be better. That's why they scolded them with a loud voice, but their child misunderstood them, and that was what Job was doing to God. Brothers and sisters, Job's such behavior is totally inappropriate in light of the truth. But we need to figure out why Job was in such distress and desperately spoke his mind. People say that when a poor person suddenly becomes rich, he has no problem. But when a rich man becomes poor all of a sudden, he just can't bear it. Not only had Job had all the riches, honor, peace, and blessings which he enjoyed in the past taken away all at once, but he was also being accused by those who used to serve and follow him. And Job found this situation unbearably distressful. If you look around and find one of your brothers despairing in the face of unexpected hardships, you should first put yourself in his shoes and comfort him. Once you've opened the door to his heart, you can remind him of the love of God who refines his children out of love and then advise him in the truth. Then he can find strength and hope from your words, from your advice. Job continued to complain of the agony he was in, like he was screaming in pain. Chapter 30, verses 12 and 13 read, "On the right hand their brood arises. They thrust aside my feet and build up against me their ways of destruction. They break up my path. They profit from my destruction. No one restrains them." Earlier, Job remarked on the fathers of the young men who mocked him, saying, "Whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock." Here as well, Job didn't hesitate to refer to them as their brood. He mentioned that such lowly ones thrust aside his feet, stood against him, broke up his path, and profited from his destruction. But no one was stopping them. Job kept on putting the blame on others. But if Job had been a man of truth, even though someone in a lower position attacked him, what would he have thought? If he relied on God, he would have tried to discover the shortcomings before God. He would have tried to figure out the reason why. And he would have believed that if God protects But what did Job do? He called them, referred to them as lowly beings. And Job referred to them as lowly beings, and he said that they could destroy him, they could, because he didn't. But if he truly acknowledged God, no, even if another person wants to, if God exalts you, you're exalted. If God lowers you, you're Lord. If you believe this God, that means you have a strong. Job was blaming others, but Job kept on putting the blame on others. But if we look into how things had come to this point, Job hurt the feelings of those young men first. As their feelings intensified, they also mocked and accused Job. Had Job stayed silent when they gave him advice, things wouldn't have gone worse. As Job refuted every word they said, insisted on his opinions, and quarreled and disputed with them, they were also provoked into cursing and despising Job. Even though Job had appeared to be intelligent and wise, as he had fleshly wisdom, he ended up causing himself agony. If Job had a spiritual wisdom, how would he have reacted? Then how would a person with a spiritual wisdom react in a situation like Job's? Even if he is accused unfairly, he wouldn't argue or fight back. But if you have feelings and resentment, you cannot do that. When you are accused unfairly, you want to fight back, strike back. Because you have ill feelings, and if you have a lot of ill feelings in you, you want to go and argue back with them. You want to argue and try to figure out what is wrong or true. You want to resolve your ill feelings. You want to resolve your frustration. This is the how ill feelings are like. And that leads to fight. And that leads you to intensify the ill feelings. But man of truth can... If you have no feelings, you can control yourself. So, you have to keep challenging yourself. At first, you want to argue. At first, you want to dispute. At first, you want to resolve all the misunderstandings. But even after you do that, others, you make things worse, and the situation goes worse, and you realize that everything is because of your lack of love. Everything is because of your resentment or upsetting. And then you repent and you ask God to remove your ill feelings, and you say, Father, I'm in distress. Please help me cast off such ill feelings, and I'm holding back such feelings. And after you cast off evil feelings, even when you are in a worse situation, you try to figure out, you rely on God, and you wanna keep silent and wait for the better time, and you want others to calm down, and you just entrust everything to God with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In order to do that, the first thing you have to do is cast off your feelings. The reason is he has no desire at all to beat others, but only has a good heart with which he wants to pursue peace. Job kept on explaining about his position with figures of speech. Chapter 30, verse 14 reads, as through a wide breach they come, amid the tempest they roar on, saying that they had come as through a wide breach. Job figuratively spoke of how his foundation and the character and the beliefs he had piled up had been destroyed. As people continually attacked and afflicted him, Job said that all things he had piled up were being destroyed. As his pride was hurt and shattered by others, Job was severely distressed and afflicted. Actually, one's pride being shattered is a blessing in a spiritual sense, but a man of flesh cannot bear that situation. Job complained that God let go of the string, leaving him in the state. But actually, because Job continued to dispute without conceding and intensify their feelings, he ended up like that. In general, when people are young, they dream big. But as they go older, their dreams get smaller by their surroundings and varying conditions. Whether a person is well-educated or not, rich or poor, he has his own matters of concern and experiences a failure at times. But some people overcome whatever trial they face and grow. They become stronger and make their lives valuable, running towards their goals. In contrast, others despair in the face of trials and just sigh and lament, saying, why was I even born and I'm suffering like this? What's the point of living this way? This was the case with Job, who gave up on himself and continuously lamented as his dreams had been shattered. But as believers of Jesus Christ, even if we have more sad days than joyful ones, we are to be grateful for that. Doesn't this happen to you?
I mean,
even if, actually, as Christians, we have more joyful days, but even if you have more sad days than joyful ones, we are to be grateful for that. Before our shepherd accepted the Lord, while he was in sickbed, for 7 years, he suffered with a lot of deaths and became subject to all kinds of contempt, scorn, and mockery. While he'd lost all the dreams and hope, while he'd been drained of strength and vigor and in deep despair, he met the living God. Not only was he healed of all the diseases all at once by God's power, but he was saved and obtained heaven. Being called to become a servant of the Lord, he led numerous souls to the way of salvation and mightily accomplished the kingdom of God. Meeting God this way, the shepherd walked the most blessed path, and reflecting on the past days, he would confess that he was immensely grateful for the days he suffered on the sickbed. The reason is, that ordeal led him to an opportunity to meet God and ultimately lead a life of glorifying Him with faith. Also, when he went through trials, before he met God, after he met God, as he reflected on his life, he found that everything was God's plan and everything was a part of the process to be. And after that, he also went through trials and also big trials on tests, but he didn't complain because he tried to find God's will, and he, even though he didn't know what's big plan was, he didn't complain. Instead, he just stayed thankful and prayed. And then all those trials turned into blessings. I'm sure that some of you sought and met God with your life full of despair and your heart having become poor, as our shepherd did. Since the afflictions of your past paved the way for you to meet God, how thankful you should be. As for believers who trust and rely on the Almighty God, trials is a part of the process to achieve their goals, and what awaits them in the end is blessings and glory. It is just as we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." While in trials, we may find the process strenuous and painful, but still, we should try to figure out God's good will, offering prayers of thanksgiving. Once we figured it out, we ought to follow it. Once you successfully pass the trials with gratitude, your faith becomes stronger. As your soul prospers, you are blessed to be closer to, God. For people who trust and rely on God, all their environments is part of the process to get empowered and achieve their dreams. That's how they can stay joyful and thankful. Hopefully, you don't consider your difficult situation to be your misery, but wisely make it an opportunity to achieve greater joy and spiritual maturity. When you are in your workplace, or when someone bothers you or distresses you, you have to consider it your homework. You have to do your homework and then move on to the next. You have to resolve that issue. Do your homework from God. You shouldn't think, "I'm distressed, I'm bothered by him." But you have to resolve to win that person's heart and make peace with them. You have to consider it your home assignment so that you can make it into your blessing. You shouldn't think, "I hope that he transfers to another place. He is bothering me with no good reason." But actually, later on, you can learn a lesson from him. Even though Job went on to say in chapter 30, verse 15, "Terrors are turned against me. They pursue my honor as a wind, and my prosperity has passed away like a cloud." Since Job was outstandingly good with words, he put profound meanings into a few words like a poet writing his poem. Then, what meaning does this statement connote? Wind passes away without staying at one place, and clouds blow away by the flow of air. And, depending on our state of mind, clouds give us different feelings. When our heart is at peace, we find the clouds embroidering sky in various forms. But when we are sad and see some clouds aimlessly drift away to somewhere, we feel vanity. But what about Job's heart? He was not happy and joyful, but he was in bitter agony and grief. So, using a metaphor, Job described how his glory and blessings disappeared in an instant like clouds blown away by the wind. As Job reflected on his past, he found that the days in which he enjoyed glory was nothing more than a brief moment. Brothers and sisters, especially adults, what thoughts come to mind as you reflect on your life? We find in Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, but soon it is gone, we fly away." Men pursue happiness all through their life, but cannot avoid experiencing toil and grief. Even if someone enjoys good health and lives longer than 80 years, after all, they would all confess, "Indeed, all these years feel like a dream." Also, as Job did, many people lament over their life, which is like clouds, saying that it is vanity. But for the believers of the Lord, there is no reason to lament over the brief life. It's because the end of their brief life here marks the beginning of the new everlasting life. Those who believe in this prepare themselves for the everlasting life in heaven during their brief time given them on this earth. They don't want to satisfy their greed by following lusts or taking perishable, fleshly things. Neither do they waste their time living in debauched ways. The reason is they know that this world is the shadow of heaven and that life on this earth is like that of a wanderer, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 15. This earth is where we briefly stay to receive the human cultivation, whereas heaven is the place where we will live forever. Thus, living as wanderers, we have to be well cultivated here and enter heaven as God's true sons and daughters. During our brief life on earth, we have to focus all our attention on how we could become more sanctified or resemble our Lord more, how we could lead even one more soul to heaven, and how we could show more faithfulness and accomplish the Father's kingdom. Heaven is not a transient place like clouds blown away by the wind, but it is an everlasting kingdom where there is no sorrow or tears, but only joy. Whoever accepts Jesus Christ as a Savior and loves God can enter heaven and enjoy everlasting joy and blessings. Therefore, I pray that amidst this hope, all of you will have an invaluable time getting through all the trials, become true children whom God truly wants, and thereby enter New Jerusalem, which is the most beautiful and glorious place in heaven. Brothers and sisters, as Job was accused and ridiculed by those whom he used to help out, he couldn't bear the agony and spoke in detail of how lowly they were. He still considered himself faultless, placed all the blame on others, and resented God. There are people who just shift the blame onto others or their surroundings whenever in trouble. They think of their situation unfair, saying, "Because he made me upset, I got angry. I suffered loss, being deceived by her lies." Some don't even admit their obvious faults, but rather justify themselves, blaming others. Others seemingly admit their wrongdoing, but at the same time, they are busy giving excuses as well. They are like, "I'm sorry, but I just couldn't help it." They seem to sincerely apologize, but still place the blame on their surroundings. If you try to cover up your faults, blaming your surroundings and others like this, no wonder you will be slow in spiritual growth. Only when we attribute our problems to our faults and humbly pray before God can we discover our shortcomings and make spiritual improvements with the help of the Holy Spirit. I urge you to always examine yourselves with the Word of God, the truth, as to whether you have an attribute of blaming others. I pray in our Lord's name that by doing so, you will make your every circumstance an opportunity to change and improve yourselves, thereby achieving spiritual growth more easily, more quickly.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.